All right, we start a busy third hour. Welcome back. Nice to have you here. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. Specifically, I'm in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. I'm Jim Rome. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Coming up at 11:40 and 1:40. Odafe. Owe. Odafe. Owe. Coming up in 40 minutes. Phone lines are open in between now and then. However, we start hour number three by having a conversation with an NFL Network and CBS Sports analyst, a three-time Super Bowl champion, a five-time executive of the year, a Morehouse College Fellow. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott Pioli 51, host of a new podcast called Tapeheads, along with Dan Orlovsky. And that's available twice weekly wherever you listen to your podcasts. At Al, in fact. Scott, it is so good to have you on the program. How are you?
Oh, Jim, it's great to be back with you. Gosh, it's been way too long. Hey, I love the intro with a little Iggy Pop. I mean, who does that?
Me fantastic. For about 30 years.
You got it, Scott. I listen, right?
I know. I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate Iggy. Iggy deserves some respect and some love, and it's long overdue, and I'm glad you gave it to him. I should have done it sooner. Listen, before we get to the podcast, and it's so good to have you back, Scott, in the start of the year, how are you doing? How is your life right about now? You sound great. How are you feeling?
I'm doing well. I really appreciate you asking. I'm doing well. We've had a little life transition here. Our one and only daughter graduated. So we moved out of Atlanta, and we are back up in the Northeast. So life is good right now. I really appreciate you asking, Jim.
Glad to hear that, Scott. Good stuff. All right, so as a team executive, I'm curious, what are the first two games of the season like for you? Like, how many conclusions can you legitimately draw from two games, and then how does that impact decision-making going forward?
Well, I don't know if you can jump to too many conclusions, but it's starting to give you a little bit of a pattern of clarity. Would be the best way to say it, because you're seeing some things in the first 2 weeks. Your coaches are trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work with the players that you have, the new players. I mean, some of that was obviously taken care of in the preseason. For some of the teams that have newer leadership, I really believe that you can't overreact and get too positive or too negative. So I think you're sorting through a lot of things at this point in time. You have an idea what your team is going to be and what it's going to be like. And you're finding, you know, the big thing is, how healthy are you week to week? So it's, to me, I am just not a big believer in overreactions in any way, Jim.
We're talking to Scott Pioli. He's got a brand new podcast called Tapeheads, which we will get into momentarily. So, Scott, to that point that, like, you don't want to overreact to anything either way. Like, Buffalo lost to Pittsburgh as an example in the home opener. Then they go on the road. They beat the Dolphins 35-0. I understand Tua went down with injury. I know this. The Bills are looking to win a Super Bowl, but how significant was that bounce back win for Buffalo?
I think it was really important, and I think it was important how they did it, Jim. You know, one of the things that kind of surprised me in the opener was that they didn't commit to the running game a little bit more. They threw the ball, I want to say, 51 times in the opener. And Brian Daboll is a really good offensive coordinator who knows the running game and respects the running game. And to me, I thought from an offensive standpoint, things had to change. And Brian corrected that right out of the gate. You know, I mean, the big run for the touchdown at the beginning of the game was really important, because a couple of things happened. We had two big downfield blocks, one by Emmanuel Sanders, one by Feliciano, the left guard, and then a kickout block. And it looked like, okay, there's running football. That makes things a lot easier for Josh Allen and the rest of the offense. So I was waiting for them to establish the run game, and they did. Then on the flip side, again, not that the Miami Dolphins are currently a offensive juggernaut, but their defense came in and laid the wood, and they needed that. That's part of what their identity, a big part of what their identity was last year. So I think that they did a great job in terms of getting to a market correction in week two.
Scott Pioli is a three-time Super Bowl champion, a five-time executive of the year. He's got a brand new podcast. He joins us once again. Scott, I'm curious your thoughts about what happened at the end of that Cowboys-Rams game. The Cowboys ended up winning that game on a late field goal by Greg Zuerlein that appeared to bail Mike McCarthy out. Maybe that's harsh, but maybe that's the case, because McCarthy was saying that there were issues Scott, on the sideline regarding his ability to see the clock and that the clock didn't really appear for him to see. What do you make of that explanation? And is that something the league needs to look into?
I think this is a great question, and you're on to something here, Jim. I know Mike McCarthy, and I trust him at his word. And here's what I will say. I've been into new stadiums, and this is a brand-new stadium. Been into new stadiums, and you have to locate the clock. You have to have an assistant coach that locates the clock. So during the game, you can have that coach paying attention to it. And it's interestingly, on Twitter last night, I heard what Mike said, and I went back to the film, and I looked at what ended up being a TV copy. And when you look at the stadium at that moment, in the background, it's nearly impossible to find the clock. The clock is not set alone in a space where it's prominent. The clock is part of one of those video bands or the light. I'm not smart enough in marketing to know what they call those bands that go around the inside of the stadium where they put up advertising, they put up clocks, they put up everything. And what was happening in that moment, I talked to someone that was there. They have these lights that are almost like strobe lights when they're flashing different screens on and off, and it becomes a real distraction visually. And my understanding was if you were in that stadium trying to look at where the clock was, it was a real problem. There needs to be a prominent place not only for the play clock but for the game clock. It was easy for all of us to be sitting there and say, oh, McCarthy's full of it. You know, I saw it right there on my TV. Well, we have it right there in a small box that the networks put in a spot for us. These new stadiums, again, I was there when we opened up Mercedes-Benz, and there were moments in between plays, and that's what this was, moments in between plays where they're flashing lights on and off on different bands, and it's nearly impossible to see, Jim.
I think this is really interesting, Scott, we just said, because I got to be transparent. You know, my immediate reaction was, come on, Mike. Come on, Mike, really? Hi. This is just Mike doing Mike things, but that's really interesting the way you just laid that out. Scott Pioli is joining us. Scott, you also made the point on your podcast. I'm jumping to another topic. You made the point on the podcast that the Browns are close, but they're not quite mature enough as a team to break through and beat Kansas City. I'm curious how you think that plays out. Is that something that comes with time, perhaps over the course of this season, or does maturity come in another way? How does it play out?
Well, Jim, I think maturity can happen over the course of the season. And I've been a part of teams that, you know, do mature. They've got a number of players that are young players, but entering the phase of being young into middle age or middle experience. And I think their quarterback is one of those players. And if he stays the path that he was on last year, that will help the entire team mature more. They've got a number of really good players, again, that are getting out of that first contract mentality. And the important thing is, when I made that statement, I meant week one. They're not mature enough. They weren't mature enough to hold on, make a couple of things happen at the end of the game to beat the Chiefs. That doesn't mean that by week, or we'll call it week 18 now, by the time we get to the playoffs, I've seen so many teams improve and grow. I go back to some of our teams when I was with the Patriots. You know, that 2001 season, we had a lot of middle-aged players and free agents that we brought in that matured over the course of the season, and we got on a roll, and it obviously didn't stop. I go back to our 2003 season. You know, we got whipped in that opener, but as the season went along, we had younger players and middle-aged players that matured, including a quarterback, even more that allowed us to win. So I think it can happen during the season, Jim.
Talking to Scott Pioli. So in terms of Patriots quarterbacks, Scott, we're two games into the season, which means we're two games into Mac Jones as a starter. You spent some time with him at Alabama last season. What did you take away from that experience?
Well, what I couldn't get over was his work habits, right? A lot of people talk about players needing good work ethic. And to me, their work ethic and work habits are very different. Mac Jones has a really strong work ethic, and I know a lot of people that have strong work ethics, but if they don't have good work habits to go along with that, sometimes they're just punching into the wind. Mac Jones' routine and his preparation was unlike anything that I've seen or heard from a young player. You know, sometimes when you interview him and you're talking to him, and I got to know Mac spending some time down there and listen to him describe in detail what he did. Right, a lot of times players will be prepared for interviews and say, well, I do this, this, and this, and it's what their agent told them to do. This kid had examples. So it was his work ethic, it was his work habits, and just his overall preparation was so mature beyond his years that he's not only a smart guy, but he makes good decisions. And sometimes, Jim, those things, too, are distinctly different.
Scott, I've never heard anybody make the distinction between work ethic and work habits. Another really interesting point. Scott Pioli is joining us. Scott, really quickly, before I ask you about the podcast specifically, I'm curious about this. From the outside, it seems like the Patriots are playing to the strengths of Jones and not asking him to do too much. What about the Jets? When you see the way they're using Zach Wilson, do you think maybe they're asking too much of him at this point? And what do you make of the way they're using him?
Well, and again, I'm not a coach, right? But I've listened to a lot of smart coaches, and I think sometimes, and Zach is a perfect example, right? We all fell in love with Zach last year in the offseason. He didn't throw a lot of interceptions. Then in the offseason, he had that wow workout. His arm strength, his ability to throw and torque his body and throw from an, you know, off-platform position. And sometimes it's like in baseball, right? Everyone loves the long ball. Everyone loves the big arm. But you also have to take a young quarterback and put him in a position to succeed. You mentioned Mac Jones. You know, Mac Jones is leading the league in short and sideways passes because they're putting him in high-percentage situations. Last week against the Patriots, Zach Wilson was put in a situation where his first two passes that went for interceptions were 13 to 15 yards down the field from the line of scrimmage. Maybe allowing him to gain some confidence and use some of his other skilled players that don't need to be, I would encourage the Jets to not necessarily be seduced by the big arm and feel like just because you have it doesn't mean you got to use it every moment.
Scott Pioli, my guest. All right, Scott, I mentioned off the very top, you're part of a brand new podcast called Tapeheads. Now, knowing you, knowing your background, knowing how you want to choose to spend your time and invest of yourself, I'm really curious, how did the podcast come to be? Talk about the people involved with it. I'm really curious about how this whole process came about.
Yeah, the way it came about, was, I mean, truthfully, you know, I've never had an agent up until I started working in media. And David Koonin, who works with the CAA group, came to me and said, Scott, listen, NFL Films and iHeart have this idea. They want to have a couple of people, a leader, and they chose Bob Wischusen. They wanted to have a former player who's really smart and knows X's and O's, and that's Dan Orlovsky. And then they wanted someone who had some personnel background, who knew X's and O's, but also knew better than X's and O's, knew about players and fit and chemistry. And it sounded like a great idea. And I tell you, I know it's work, but I'm having a blast right now. You know, we're dropping our third episode today. And, I give David Koonin a lot of credit for working with the folks at iHeart and NFL Films to put this thing together.
All right, so really quickly, when you're watching tape now and you're breaking it down and you're preparing for this podcast, which is something different, what types of things and details are you looking for?
Well, like when we talked about before, I was talking about what kind of passes are they throwing? Why are they throwing those passes? You know, Dan Orlovsky will break things down from an X's and O's standpoint. For instance, one of the things we talked about today was in the Washington football team game from last Thursday, the Giants needed to work on their protection because their offensive line was struggling against one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL. So what were they doing to try to help things out, to give Daniel Jones a little more time? Well, I noticed in one of these plays in the fourth quarter where Jones scrambled for 11 yards, they used Kyle Rudolph on a chip. And just using some of the many years of experience that all of us have in the game, looking at tape, finding plays, and finding out and trying to explain, without getting into too much detail, how they can work and why they work or why they don't work.
I like it. He's an NFL Network and CBS Sports analyst. He is a three-time Super Bowl champion. As I mentioned, a five-time Executive of the Year and a new co-host of a brand-new podcast called Tapeheads. Episode 3 drops today, and that's something you want to check out. Scott, appreciate you very much. Great to have you back on the show. Great to hear your voice, and I hope we can do it again really soon.
Me too, Jim. You're always so great to be with. I not only appreciate you, but respect you. Thanks so much for the time. I appreciate
mutual
it.
Respect and appreciation, Scott. Thanks so much. Really do appreciate the relationship. Scott Pioli joining us. Sounds awesome. And a really good project that he has taken on. I'm so glad to see that, too. All right. We've got an open segment before I get to my last segment. Telephone number is toll free. Again, 1-800-636-8686. Odafe Owe is my guest at 1140. Hey, listen, are you ready to win some money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We are bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports, from basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, and most importantly right now, man, football, NFL and college ball both. Amazing promos, odds, payouts happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Are you ready to play? Then sign up today. Receive a special offer, risk-free. $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app right now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. You do have to be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades, and they've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. All right, so again, my thanks to Scott Pioli. Really quickly, going back to the phone call we had, Nick in Iowa. Here's some of the reaction. And Mark Moda, he tweets, quote, Rome, great Javier story. Please tell us Andy Reid was wearing a Chiefs tank top, jorts, and holding a Natty Light.
Don't forget Mark Moda.
No, he was not. But he was in his traditional Hawaiian shirt, if I recall correctly. Hey, XR4TI member engineering, do you have a reset of Nick in Iowa trying to tell the story about what happened when he went to Vegas and he couldn't get in? Try to just show up at Javier's. First of all, good luck with that. I'm not saying you're going to get attitude. I'm saying you're going to get told that there's a wait. You can't just show up. Apparently, Nick did, and is trying to tell me that he showed up in jorts and shorts. Actually, jorts, a tank, a Natty Light, and then just dropped my name, and somehow the door magically flew open.
We tried booking Friday. They're booked. Try booking Saturday. Booked. So, I go to my buddy. Hey, listen. Let's stop in, see if we can get in. We roll up to the hostess stand, and I'm in my Cyclone tanker and a pair of jorts holding a Natty Light. She said, hey, we're full. I said, hey, listen, Jim Rome sent me. Suddenly, a table of four opens up.
Come on, dude. Listen to me. I would, first of all, I would never do it. But if I myself went to that Javier's and said, I'm Jim Rome, I don't think that would work. But it worked for you, Nick. Come on. Ken in SA tweets, Rome, Nick in Iowa must have butterfingers because dude keeps dropping your name. Stocknut, I dropped your name to the valet at Geisha House. You don't want to know what happened next. Oh, I know what happened next. Great Blue Dini 4. Thanks. Unnamed mention of the XR4TI. Hey, Jim, I tried name dropping you the last time I went to Pasquale's, and they slapped me in the face. Even worse, they forced me inside to eat their pizza. Well done. At Ominous Moment tweets, who do you think you are? I am.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Signed Nick, getting into Javier's after name checking you. Damien in Tucson, quote, I dropped Jim's name once to a flight attendant. They promptly kicked me off the plane.
You are now free to move.
Total Big E, quote, Javier's is legit. Went to the one in Vegas. Roman's right. The lobster enchiladas all day, every day. That's my go-to. That's the second question I always get. First question is, hey, Rome, is Javier Joy that good? Yes. What do you get? Lobster enchiladas. But literally everything is good on the menu. You can't go wrong. Daniel tweets, I totally believe Nick's story about getting into Javier's. Son, message in a bottle guy. See, this is the only reason why I don't rule it out completely. Because I was so quick to rule that guy's story out because that sounded like the most absurd story ever. And it was true. And made national news. All right, so let me really quickly finish the thought on the Mannings. So the Mannings are doing Monday Night Football. What they're doing is they're just kind of chopping it up. Like they're dropping insight and analysis. They're not doing play-by-play and doing a traditional podcast or a broadcast. They're just kind of chopping it up. They're hanging out. And then they'll bring a guest in. Then they'll tell a story. And they're just having fun with it. And it's really, really good content. So Peyton is talking about how the Packers were running the ball pretty frequently. And then he somehow transitions to this sick burn on the hood and the Pats.
I felt like the Packers were listening to Eli, you and I, our conversation on Friday about we got to come out and run the ball. I think our conversation was bugged, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do back in the day.
Dude! I mean, Peyton, bro, respect. Respect. I feel like the Packers were listening into our conversation because they're running the ball, and it feels like the Patriots were, like they were bugging us like the Patriots back in the day, i.e. Spygate smack. And he wasn't done. He had more to say on his days of going up against the Mumbler, his team, and apparently the high-tech dudes.
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers like in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions.
Holy crap, dude. How about this dude going there? One thing for the fans to go there, but how about one of the greatest ever to let us in and let us know? I mean, that's amazing. Like, forever as a fan. Hadn't you always wondered if these players all thought the same thing that you fans do about the Patriots and the Patriot way? Haven't you always wondered if the players thought the same thing? You know damn well you did. They read the same things. Better yet, they're in it. They have to be wondering, how did they know? Are they that well coached or do they have an edge? Do they have an edge? I mean, you got to know this guy who would never leave any stone unturned, and he's jamming his guys into the shower. Hey, Reggie Wayne, Marv, Austin Collie, Dallas Clark. Hey, everybody, into the corner of the shower. We can't have this conversation near my locker because it's bugged. That's incredible. Yeah, I know, Chouts. You all say that we were not in the locker room or the quarterback room or the showers, just in their heads. Fair enough. I'm sure you weren't doing anything suspicious at all. That's just Peyton Manning saying, I'm not having this conversation in front of my locker, fellas. Let's go have this talk in the shower. And you know that the hood himself would be like, oh, here we go again, radio man. Here we go again, radio man. Like I've said countless times, there are nothing to these rumors. It's just ridiculous. And yes, we were recently fined and we lost our third round pick in the last draft over a misunderstanding in 2019 against Cincy. And been over this a million times. That's all this has ever been. A misunderstanding and a few rogue employees. I mean, sure, their rogueness would only benefit our team. I'll give you that. But that's all they are. They're just rogue employees. In fact, by the way, hypocrite. Yeah, that's right. I called you a hypocrite, radio man. You have your own rogue employee. The old man on your staff, Eisenhower, right? He's as rogue as they get. That's right, radio man. Maybe you take a look in the mirror for once. Huh? What do you see? I'll tell you what I see, radio man. I see a hypocrite. You. Why don't you look at your own staff instead of looking at my team and my staff? Why don't you look at your own? You think that guy That guy became the supreme commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force in 43 by not taking risky, edgy decisions, by not pushing the envelope. I think not, Radio Man. So while you're busy pointing the finger at me again, there are four fingers pointing back at you and that old man. So I got some advice for you, Radio Man. Instead of worrying about me and what I do, why don't you worry about you and what you do? And better yet, why don't you worry about Eisenhower and his kick-ass shoes? That's right, I said it. His kick-ass shoes. Worry about them, Radio Man. And his rogueness. Then you come clean my house, Radio Man. Isn't he going to be on the air soon, Radio Man? Don't y'all have a birthday coming up? Yeah, well, that rogueness that he has, you know, that got Tom Hanks killed. Remember that? Wise ass. You watch out, Meg Ryan. You watch out, Whoopi Goldberg. Ike might get you, too. Let me tell you something, Radio Man. I got something for you. You listening? Listen up, Radio Man. Six Lombardis, bitch. Yeah, I said it. Six Lombardis, bitch. Yeah, anyway, Hood. Back to the Mannings and their new venture. Man, I'm telling you, I like these guys. I like where they're going. I like what they're doing. I like the format. I like that they're not afraid. I think they're funny. I think they have something to offer, obviously. And it's going to get better and better. Because like I said, Peyton is the master of looking over the defense and making adjustments and calling audibles. It's going to get even better. I can't wait for week three, in fact. Dallas v. Philly. Something tells me there's going to be a Jera story coming. There better be. Maybe they should have Jera on as a guest. Maybe Jera can one-up Peyton's shower story with that wild one about Zeke chasing dudes around the locker room while riding his fake horse and spanking dudes.
Spanking himself as he emulates riding the horse.
Still the oddest thing. Anyway, Pate, you got this. You got this, Peyton. I don't need to help you produce. You've got something good now. Keep doing you. You don't need any input. Not from me. Not from the suits. Dude, your instincts are good, Peyton. Really good. And what you don't need is somebody in a suit or Radio Man like me putting little bro in the booger mobile. Because you know somebody's going to try and do that. They probably spent a lot of money on that mobile. They probably want to use it. Break that thing out. Like, what do you do with the booger mobile when it's no longer in use? Do you try and sell that thing? You put that thing on eBay? You break it out on Saturday Drive? What do you do? Anyway, I want to give credit to the Manning Bros. Good product.
Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions.
Credit.
Adafe. Owe. Adafe. Owe is coming up. Next. Not a second too soon, yo. Before I get to Adafe Owe. You know, it used to be, welcome back, used to be that you'd get former athletes and they'd get a form and they just didn't really want to say anything at all. And they certainly did not want to be critical of their own teams. And if they did, they took some heat. And then the thing is starting to kind of swing back the other way, right? The pendulum is swinging back the other way. Now you've got things or situations where guys are saying crazy things and running out lava and hot takes to get people to look at them and to go viral and to move the needle. And then you've got the Manning boys. And the Manning boys never really said anything when they played. Every once in a while, Peyton might wisecrack. Like that time he went in on Mike Vanderjack. But that was so out of character.
Here we are. I'm out of my third Pro Bowl. We're talking about our idiot kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. So what has the sports world come to? We're talking about idiot kickers. He has ruined kickers for life. Akers and Vinatieri, these guys are great guys. They've been getting killed all week because our idiot ran his mouth. So when I get home, I'll deal with it. Tony and I talked about it. It's kind of funny, really, when you think about it. If he is still a teammate, we'll deal with it. You know, that remains to be seen. But the sad thing is, Lynn, he's a good kicker. He's a good kicker, but he's an idiot.
I can't even begin to tell you how golden that soundbite is. How far ahead of his time that is. I mean, that is magic. That is an amazing soundbite from a Hall of Famer in the prime of his career, just going in on his idiot kicker. His idiot kicker, because his idiot kicker was critical of the intensity and preparation of the quarterback when nobody was more intense and more prepared. Vanderjack had said this. This is what precipitated Peyton going in on, quote, the idiot kicker.
All week before the Jets game, I'm like, you know, 18, you know, we're going to handle it. Me and you, we're going to win this game. And he's like, well, yeah, okay. I'm like, Peyton, come on, show some enthusiasm. You're the quarterback. We need to win this game. And I just don't see it from him. Some guys have it, some guys don't, you know. And Coach Dungy, he's just a mild-mannered guy. He doesn't get too excited. He doesn't get too down. And I don't think that works either. I think you need a motivator. I think you need a guy that's going to get in somebody's face when they're not performing well enough. Peyton and Tony are basically the same guy. I'm not a real big Colts fan right now, unfortunately. I just don't see us getting better.
Let me tell you something. The only soundbite better than Peyton going in on Vanderjack is Vanderjack going in on Peyton and Tony Dungy.
Idiot kicker.
I mean, can you imagine, and I'm not here to take a run at a kicker. Quote, some of my best friends are kickers. No, I mean, that's not what this is about. Imagine, however, anybody in that locker room, much less the kicker, telling Peyton Manning that he needs more from him in the way of energy or enthusiasm or leadership or fire. You imagine that? I mean, nobody had more respect in a locker room than Peyton Manning for what he knew. I mean, that'd be like going to Tom Brady. Like, hey, man, you know, Brady's holding us back. He's just not fiery enough. He's not energetic enough. He's not enthusiastic enough. He doesn't want it badly enough. Man, there's not a kicker alive. There's not a player who can do that. And not only did he do it, he went in on Tony Dungy. Now, granted, Dungy is not necessarily that fire and brimstone guy, but a beloved guy. Players loved playing for Tony Dungy. I'm telling you, man, the only soundbite better than Peyton going in and saying, yeah, we'll take care of this when we get back, i.e., I'm going to fire this guy. He's already fired. I am the GM. I just don't think that Mason Crosby is going to show up and do an interview and say, man, the thing about Aaron Rodgers, just too zen-like, too laid back, not focused, not a good leader, not fiery enough. Right about now, I'm just not a big fan of the Packers. I don't think Mason Crosby's going to do that. I got to tell you something. I'd love to take the wood to Vanderjack, but I've never respected Vanderjack more than I do right now. Granted, it cost him his career, pretty much. And you got to like Peyton. You got to respect Peyton saying, hey, by the way, he's a good kicker. Oh, he was. Vanderjack was a really good kicker.
Idiot kicker.
An idiot kicker, but a good kicker, Lynn. But a good kicker. Absolutely incredible. Like Peyton. I guess I should have known. I shouldn't have been so surprised. I'd seen polished, perfect Peyton for so long in so many corporate environments and so many commercials where he just said the right thing, did the right thing, and just was so slick and so polished that I got to admit, it's not that I didn't think that he had that in him. I just didn't think that he'd let it out, and he did. I did have a time early on, I have to look back at the year, I don't remember what year it was, but when I worked for ESPN, I was at Super Bowl in New Orleans for the entire week, and I want to say we were at Patty O'Brien's, and I went to a back room, incredibly enough. And not only did I go in a back room, but I was back in a back room because Peyton was there. Couldn't have been nicer, man. Could not have been nicer. Sat down. Had a hurricane with Peyton and the fam. Classy, man. Classy, classy, classy. Good dude. Now, he wasn't running out smack like that, but classy. Easy to talk to. Happy, upbeat. Really cool. You know deep down he's got that in him. I just didn't expect to see it. So I think it's really good.
Omaha!
I'm telling you, man. You know he's got that in him, and we should have known. He was so far ahead of his time with that crackback on his, quote, idiot kicker. But you know what? Vanderjack's getting lost in all this. Him going in on Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy is absolutely incredible. And him tagging that with, you know, I'm just not a real big fan of the Colts right now.
All week before the Jets game, I'm like, you know, 18, you know, we're going to handle it. Me and you, we're going to win this game. And he's like, well, yeah, okay. I'm like, Peyton, come on, show some enthusiasm. You're the quarterback. We need to win this game. And I just don't see it from him. Some guys have it, some guys don't, you know. And Coach Dungy, he's just a mild-mannered guy. He doesn't get too excited. He doesn't get too down. And I don't think that works either. I think you need a motivator. I think you need a guy that's going to get in somebody's face when they're not performing well enough.
Can you imagine the kicker going, hey, 18. Hey, 18. Come on, man. 18, you and me are going to win this game. I need more from you, 18. Wow. How does Vanderjack not have a yellow jacket? He should for that. Steven Ledesma tweets, oh my goodness, you're killing me, Rome. Had to step out to my car so my coworkers don't think I'm crazy. You as hoodie has me laughing my ass off. Why, Steve? Nothing funny about that. Let me tell you something, Steve. I've had it about up to here with Radio Man. Radio Man going in on me and my kid and my other kid and the fact that we did this, we did that. Let me tell you, that guy, Radio Man there, old Snapface, InstaChat, Snapface, whatever his name is, Rhubarb, what's his name?
Snapface.
He's got to look InstaChat. In his own house, man. He's got to look in his own mirror. In fact, you know what he's going to do? He's got to look through the glass. And what's he going to see in the glass? He's going to see his own rogue employee, that old man Ritt. You know, Eisenhower. Get off my back, man. Six Lombardis, bitch. This guy got to get a little respect around here. I said six. Hey, Radio Man, can you even count to five? Six. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. Six.
Not two, not three.
Six.
Not four.
Not five. Six. Six so far. Let me tell you something. Guy's a hell of a coach. He really is. I just think that it's really curious that Peyton told a story about how he feared that they bugged his locker. Spygate smack. I'm not talking up my ass here.
Every time I played against
that's Peyton
England,
Manning, man. This isn't Radio Man. It's Peyton Manning on TV talking about how he pushed his teammates into the shower to have a conversation because he knew there were no bugs there.
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers like in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions.
Bravo, man. Attaboy, Peyton. Keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. You know what? You know that old saying about how nobody tunes into a game to see the broadcasters? That's now a lie. I almost don't even care who's playing now because I want to hear what old Peyton and Eli have to say if that's the kind of heat you're going to bring. Really. I mean, you're going to normally have a premier matchup on Monday because it's Monday, and every once in a while you'll get a dog. But generally, and there's some amazing announcers, but you don't tune in to hear the announcer in a basketball game or a baseball game or a football game per se. You know, there's those slivers of time where you have those larger-than-life analysts that were so different. Like, I don't want to age myself, but when John Madden first started doing it, people were like, Madden, wow, never heard anything like that before. Kind of having a moment like that with Peyton. If Peyton's going to come in here and tell stories about how he had half his team or half the offense in the corner of the shower because he was afraid that his locker was bugged by the Patriots, I'm tuning in regardless of who the matchup is.
Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions.
Man, just Vanderjack going, come on, 18. Come on, 18, man, you got to show me something. Incredible. Tell you what, 18, you and I, I'll pick this up with you later on, 18. In the meantime, I got to go have a conversation with Dallas and Marv and Reggie. I got to set them straight, too, while I'm at it. And by the way, I got to find Tony. You seen Tony? I got to set Tony straight. What did I tell you about my man? All right, so I am no longer efforting my guest. Got old Pate to pick me up. Didn't even get to everything I wanted to get to. I wanted to get to the Jags and the Falcons, man. They had this weird, weird social media thing. Weird. Didn't get to that. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe. I've got a podcast coming up on Wednesday. Dante Hittner. He may not have legally changed his name, but in my mind, I'm going with it. Great player. Looking forward to talking to him. Look for that on Wednesday. The Jim Rome podcast drops every single Wednesday after the program. Huge call today. I'm trying to think of how many I took. Just one? Nick in Iowa. If somebody's going to win, it's going to be Nick in Iowa, who's talking out his backside, dropping my name, having doors swing wide open for him. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. What you need to do is call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. Had ourselves a day, did we not? My thanks to Scott Pioli. Great to get caught up with him. My thanks to North Carolina quarterback Sam Howell. Did a really nice job. Good to talk to him. My thanks to the XR4TI. They did a very nice job. And you clones, not bad. You can do better, not bad. Thank you very much for listening. Have yourself a great Tuesday, and I will see you right back here tomorrow. We're done.
Now I'm done.